Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Loading the Bar podcast. And believe it or not, yes, we are back. I know it's been a while, but here we are, blessing you guys with our voices once again.
Yeah, it's been you've been busy this summer.
That's right. It has been busy summer for.
Yeah. Tell us what you've been doing.
Oh, I've been up to all sorts of stuff. Wow. Just running here, running there.
That doesn't sound very specific.
Well, I mean, you want me to go into everything?
Well, is it going to take that long?
I mean, it'd take a while.
Give us a synopsis of what you've been up to.
Just working, mainly. Working, busy. Spent a weekend at the lake. Just trying to stay busy on the farm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Season where we're doing lots of putting up hay and just stuff that's taking my time away in the middle of a Saturday.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then, is that kind of coming to an end right now, or?
Kind of.
Yeah.
You know, it stays pretty busy all summer, but.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try and be a little more consistent with my travel and your travel. We've been a little sporadic the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 months. But we'll try to get on a little bit regular plan. I know that Brian, who had guest hosted a couple times maybe, has filled in, and we might get him out here a little bit more often when, which I think you're going to be gone next week, right?
Next week, yep.
Okay. So I'll have to reach out to him and come up with another show. But
big things since the last time we were talking to you. Matt, you want to fill audience in on what you accomplished?
So before the last, I think before I had gone to Nationals, we did our last show. And since I've come back, which has been 3 weeks, I think, I went to Nationals, and outside of smelling marijuana 24/7, except in my room or in the car, I got second at Nationals. So I didn't do my best. In fact, I kind of tweaked my shoulder a little bit. And regardless, if I would have hit my best, there was a guy out of there named, which I think we talked about in the show, named Spencer Minix, who came in and out of Washington and put up a 391 bench and set the national record for the USPA. So that's a good record, you know, because the USPA has been around since the early 90s, I think, or mid 90s. So that's the last record had stood for a while. So pretty impressive.
So second place.
Yes.
In the nation.
Yes.
And that's an age group bracket of 55 to 59?
Yes.
55 to 59?
55 to 59, yeah.
And a weight division.
Right. So.
But second place in the nation.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I know it wasn't the number you wanted to hit, but.
No, it wasn't.
It's still a really cool accomplishment.
Yeah, you know, and I try to keep things in perspective, you know, but it's nice to do that. And you know, next year I'd like to put up some bigger numbers, you know, trying to keep myself healthy. As you know, I've kind of got a janky shoulder right now, and it's kind of slowing me down a little bit. And
but you're getting that shoulder healed up. You want to tell us how you're healing it up?
Yeah. So we've had a friend of ours that I've been acquainted with for quite some time, owns a place called the Brand New Day Clinic. And he has some interventions there, like STEM technology, which is like a suit that puts electrical currents through your body at different wavelengths and does different things. And it's you know, it interacts with the lymphatic system, and it helps recovery. It's an amazing piece of technology because it's not, people hear it, oh, like TENS? No, it's not like TENS. it's far, far more advanced. And, you know, what I've discovered is that every time I've had tennis elbow, you know, or shoulder problem.
Any ache or pain.
Any
really.
Ache and pain. And I've twice now, not, or three times actually, as I've led up to three different meets, I come off the training and I'm a little beat up, right? And it's, and sometimes I'll get just a little bit of shoulder, a little bit of elbow, and I don't want to deal with it at the event. And I'll do one, maybe two sessions in that, and I'm good. And it's gone, right? So that's been really good. Now, coming back from this event with my shoulder being the way it is, and my ego kind of got in the way of making it worse because I tweaked it at Nationals. And if I would have left it alone, it probably would have been fine. But I came in on the Tuesday after and I put 365 on there and I just did a touch and go of that and I did it, and but it felt worse. And I'm like, okay, you know, I should have just stayed off of it. But so now it's I don't know if it's, I don't think it's labrum or anything like that. I just think I've got some swelling. Also did what's called an infrared light, which goes 8 inches into the body. It's a cool device they have there at the Brand New Day Clinic. And I'm telling you what, they put it across. They were going across my shoulder, right? And this light, it hits deep. It helps with white cell production. And it also obviously stimulates blood flow. And vasodilates, right? So I could tell when they hit the area in my, it was literally 2 inches inside my shoulder. It was crazy, you know. So they're running the light on and sitting there, and they get to the spot where there's damage, and I about came out of the chair. I was like, whoa, you know, I'm just like, and I just had to put my hand on, I was just doing this, you know, with my hands on my nose, bridge of my nose, just grimacing as he was going across that area. And best way to explain is like you have a knot in your back, right? And someone's rubbing it, and then they find that knot and they're pressing in that knot. It's kind of painful, right? It's kind of the exact same feeling, you know? And that light was hitting the injury, and whoa, it was like, it was very tender. And I was just like grimacing as he was running that light, and then he'd run off of it, and then oh, and then he'd go back on it. I'm like, oh, like that. And so definitely got some damage in there, and or swelling, I should say. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I will say, yesterday shoulder felt great. Now I'm not benching right at the moment, but you know, we benched a few days ago. Shoulder felt didn't feel great. I only did like 135 pounds, but yesterday I did a infrared light treatment, a couple suit treatments. Shoulder felt really good yesterday, and then the only time I feel it is if like I'm sleeping and I roll onto it, I was like ooh and come off of it, right? Or if sometimes I can't lay flat. I don't know why, because it just kind of bothers me to lay flat, so I have to sleep on my left side. So anyway, cool technologies. There's a lot of, you know, the other thing I've considered is getting on BP-157 peptide to help heal it. Technically, that's illegal or banned. So I'm announcing it for the world. you know, but so I'm going to give it another week. I have a meet coming up.
Let's specify. It's not illegal in terms of...
Yes, it's banned by the USPA.
It's banned in the federation that you powerlift in.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah, wrong terminology. But it's banned in the USPA. And because I went and looked at their banned items, and I didn't see it on there. And so I, you know, me, I'm trying to play by the rules. So I reached out to the USPA and said they're adding the peptides on there that they are banned, and they just haven't updated it yet. So, but, you know, I'm going to give it another week. As you know, I've got a meet coming up soon that my training coach wants me to pull out of that I really don't want to. But I'll make that call here soon. So, anyway, that's everything in a ball of wax. So, yeah, second in Nationals. I really wanted to win it. But, hey, when I do want to compete against the best. So
that's right. And you've got some good competition, and you'll have another chance next year.
Yeah. Well, for sure. You know,
something to work towards for the next year.
Yeah. And you know, I used to think that benching in a competition style, which is basically, for people who don't know what that is kind of like a pause rep. Hitting, you know, 390 would be out of the question. I don't believe that anymore, just because of the progress I've made in the last year. So anyway, and you know, it's hopefully by next year you're doing a little competition.
Yeah, so you've added a new member to your workout team.
That's right, which is you.
Which is me.
And I have no doubt that you know, who was it I was talking to? I forget who I talked to. Someone knew that you had joined, and or I told them that, yeah, Parker's joining with us. And they asked me, what do you think, Parker's going to catch you? And I said, let's put it this way. His ceiling's higher than mine, so he should catch me.
That is true. Honestly, the fact that you bench more than me right now is out of alignment. So,
I mean, if with your youth and your abilities, you should catch me. You should. So,
well, we'll see what happens. You know, Angels, he has a lot of knowledge about powerlifting, and you guys are very motivating to work out with. You guys push each other, so I'm excited to kind of jump in the mix and see if I can get some of my old strength back.
Yeah, I think you will, and I think you know more now.
I've been light and lean for a long time, and you know.
So, what do you think? Maybe 190, or 195.
I don't know. You know, I'm like low 180s right now, so I'm just gonna keep lifting and getting stronger. And as the size comes on, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, but, because it'd be great if you could hit a high number under 200.
I'd probably like to stay under 200.
Yeah, I mean, there's definite cons being over 200.
Yeah,
I mean,
I probably 100%. Wouldn't do it long term if I was gonna do it.
Yeah,
might be short term for, you know, to hit some certain numbers or something. Yeah. But long term, I really do like being lighter.
Yeah, there's definitely an advantage to it. I mean, when I was lighter, having that type of cardio was nice. It just endless cardio where you can go and go and go and go. And I remember having that three years ago. So you know, it's going to be fun. I've actually made a mental commitment that I'm probably going to do this another 2 or 3 years. And then I'll make a call after that. If the body holds up, shoulder holds up, I'll go another 2 or 3 years. Cause I would, you know, I'll be 60 in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. So have another opportunity to set that record. If I'm going to hold on to the Kansas record, I'm going to have to put up higher numbers because Brian Harmon's coming in. He did 380 at 54. He turns 55 in the middle of July. So, yeah. So, it's going to be hard to hold on to it.
Got some people on your tail, sounds like.
Yeah, 100%. So. Oh, yeah, 100%. So.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
A little catching up, what we've been up to. But now, we're going to dive into our main topic of the day, which is...
We are going to talk about our favorite exercises, our favorite modalities in the gym. Because I definitely have my favorites. I was thinking about it today, and I'm like, you know what we should talk about is our favorite lifts and why we like them. So I thought, and then maybe, I mean, I'd probably also discuss which muscle group I enjoy working the most, you know, which I'd be curious what that is for you. And then maybe which ones we like giving to our clients, you know.
Yeah, there's a difference, and each person's different. you know, I have the exercises I like for myself that are based around my goals. And then I have exercises I like for trainees based on their goals.
Right.
It's different for everybody.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and there's been a couple, one or two exercises that I've been starting to do with Angel that I've seen tremendous benefits from for me that I would think other people would benefit from. And they're a little more advanced, but I don't give them to everybody, but if I feel like they have the ability to do it, then I think they can benefit from it. It's a, because, I mean, for example, the rolling triceps. That is, I was surprised how much that helped me. That really took the shakes out of my arms. Like, if you watch some of my lifts earlier on versus some of my lifts later, arms are like that, right? And then that slowly dissipated after doing months of those rolling triceps. And I'm like, the only thing I can equate it to is that. Because I've done JMs for several years. I've done Tellys for several years. I've done all kinds of different tricep lifts. But that one, really, that's the one I've introduced that gave me a lot more meat around my elbow. So yeah. I've started on some of my clients incorporating that in.
So where do we want to start? Do we want to go muscle group by muscle group, or how do we want to do this?
Yeah, I'd say let's go muscle group by muscle group, right? And we're not going to make it super technical. We're going to talk about, you know, kind of our gut feeling of why we feel it benefits us and what it's actually done for us. And then we can talk about what ones we like best for clients. So I would say, maybe, do you want to start with legs or do you want to start with?
Perfect. Okay. We'll start with legs.
Okay. You go first.
My favorite leg exercise.
Uh-huh.
Do you want my favorite leg exercise for myself?
Let's do that first and then talk about what's your favorite leg exercise for your clients.
My favorite leg exercise for myself has always been and will always be the barbell squat.
Over the deadlift.
Over the deadlift, yes. Yeah. The deadlift is not strictly a leg exercise.
Right.
The deadlift definitely works the legs, but the squat is almost exclusively a leg exercise.
Right. Right.
And I've always felt like I get the most bang for my buck in terms of working the leg muscles, all right. around leg muscles, glutes, hamstrings, quads, calves, everything.
Back.
When I do barbell squats.
Right.
Well, the back's not the legs.
Right. But. True. But it's, when I think of the barbell squat, I think about, let's say you could only do like one exercise, you know, that would be probably one to consider.
Like ever? You can only do one exercise?
Let's say you can only do one exercise for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Barbell deadlift.
Deadlift. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And why is that?
Because I believe the deadlift does a better job of working the entire body, whereas the squat is more specific to the legs.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be because the barbell, the deadlift is going to be a lot more back.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But specifically for legs, the barbell squat. More from a strength perspective and working the overall legs, I would say I wouldn't say a close second, but just a little bit different would be leg press. Because leg press for the quads specifically, if you're looking to put size on your legs, build some big quads, the leg press is absolutely the best exercise for that.
Yeah. Have you noticed on the leg press, there was some science that came out about the leg press about 2 years ago. Or three, maybe. And it was saying how feet placement, you know, that the percentage difference on how you hit your hamstrings or quads is only less than 5% difference, depending on where you place it. And I thought that was interesting.
Well, I have noticed with some trainees that even if you intend, feet placement doesn't make a difference unless the trainee understands how to adjust what muscles that they're hitting.
Right.
Because I can do a leg press and I can hit all quads, or I can do a leg press and hit all hamstrings. Mm-hmm. And I know how to move my feet to change that.
Yeah.
But what I have found with, say you have a female trainee who's doing high up on the leg press, working the hamstrings.
Right.
And you want them to move narrower stance and lower on the platform in order to hit the quads.
Right.
But then you see they're still pushing through their heels. They're still going to be working their hamstrings.
Right.
And vice versa with males. A lot of times they're more quad dominant, and they'll, no matter where you put their feet, they'll push through their toes, mm-hmm. and work their quads. So they have to understand it's not simply foot placement that changes the muscles you hit. It's also what part of your foot you push through.
Right. And do you, sometimes I have had people put their feet really low, like their toes at the bottom of the platform, right? And get it as close as possible. Get kind of similar to what you would see in like a, I can't remember the name of that lift, but where you have tons of quad, right? Is that something you ever incorporate? Because I do like that lift.
I don't necessarily incorporate it.
Yeah.
A lot, but it's to me it puts your legs in such a position that you have to decrease the load, the mm-hmm. weight to
yes.
a point where I don't feel like you get enough.
More for, you wouldn't get enough as more as far as getting strength, but more hypertrophy.
Yeah, and that might help some for hypertrophy. But I've always felt on the leg press that it's the weight that matters. As mm-hmm. long as you have good form and you're doing a full range of motion, loading up the weight has helped me more with hypertrophy than doing a ton of reps at a lighter weight.
Right. Okay.
Because your legs can hold more weight on a leg press than they can on a squat for most people. Most people can't load up enough weight on their back to be more than a leg press.
Right.
But a leg press, you don't have to hold the weight with your back.
Right.
It's one of the only ways, other than maybe like a belt squat, that you could lift a ton of weight with your legs without really any pressure going onto your back or your shoulders or neck or any your spine.
Yeah.
You know, anything like that.
Yeah, and I don't think I could do a belt squat of 1,000 pounds.
But no, but the angle on a leg press is also a little bit different.
Right.
On a belt squat, you're lifting against gravity.
Right.
On a leg press, you are pressing up, but you're pressing up and at an angle. And so it's not, you're not really,
pressing
legs aren't really lifting all the weight.
Right.
That's how much weight's on the sled. But that's, you're not lifting that amount of weight. It's not like it would translate to a squat or something.
Right. So deadlift or squat's your favorite. Then deadlift or I'm sorry, leg press is number two.
Those are very close. I would say both of those, because I could do leg workouts for the next 10 years and only do squats and leg presses and be perfectly happy and
right.
build very strong, very well-balanced legs, very large, muscular
right.
legs.
Yeah. And you don't feel like the RDLs would need to be incorporated?
I don't feel like RDLs would need to be incorporated. So here's the thing. When I squat, I'm a very wide stance and bent over squatter. I didn't used to be. I used to be high bar, very quad dominant. And mm-hmm. I had really weak hamstrings and glutes, and I had massive hams of quads.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I transitioned when I started really getting deep into powerlifting and wanting to lift heavy. I learned that you have to throw glutes and hamstrings into your squat and squat low bar in order to lift as much weight as I wanted to lift. And so I had to change my squat, and now I squat very bent over and much more back on my heels, wide stance. And so I get a ton of glute and hamstring out of my squats.
Right.
So that's the only reason why I would say that. If somebody was squatting very, very quad dominant, they probably do need to do some RDLs or something that gives them some hamstrings. And deadlifts will also give you hamstrings and glutes
right.
too. So.
Right. Yeah. You know, powerlifting, you do have to put the bar lower on your back. I mean, that's actually a technical requirement. You cannot put it up high on your, You can't get it up here on your.
You can't squat high bar. Which federation is
USPA.
That?
USPA.
Really?
Yeah. You have to. It's that. Like. I wanted to say it was 2 inches from top of the neck, but I'll double check that. But I'm pretty sure I read that you can't do high bar on your. It has to be down on your. Right on the scapula. Where the spine of the scapula comes, it's got to be around
there. It essentially
there.
Sits on the rear delts.
Yes. Yeah.
That's kind of the shelf below the traps, above the rear delts.
Right. And I'm trying to, that must, I think that's, I'm trying to remember the terminology. They used inches as far as how far down it needs to be, which is ironic because they use metric when they do their weights and everything. Squat and leg press.
What I will add, though, you brought up RDLs, and I wanted to say this. What I've just delved into was specific to me, myself.
Right, 100%, yeah.
And most of my male trainees, I have a very similar opinion. However, I look at it completely differently for female trainees. A couple of different reasons. I don't use the barbell back squat as much for female trainees. Once they get pretty advanced, I will. But part of the problem with the barbell back squat for female trainees is usually their legs will get stronger. They will be stronger and will get stronger at a faster pace than their upper body will.
Right.
And so loading a very heavy bar onto their back is not usually a very effective way to work the legs.
Right.
Because they will usually be limited by how much can their back and their shoulders and neck hold.
Right, their core, yeah.
And a lot of times, they'll say, well, it's heavy. It's not hard with their legs. It's just hard for them to hold it on their back. But you give them something like a leg press or a belt squat, like we talked about, and they could do way more weight.
Right.
So barbell back squat's not usually my favorite for female trainees. If you have a woman who's very strong already all the way around, upper body as well, you can have them do barbell back squats and it'd be just fine. But not as common, especially to more beginners. So I would recommend more of RDLs and leg presses for female trainees, including hip thrusters. And that's more for a... it depends on the goals of the female trainee,
right?
But most female trainees are looking for glute development.
Right.
And looking at glute development, not necessarily...
For strength, but for
strength. Yeah. And not necessarily to go along with developing everything in the lower body.
Right.
A lot of times they're looking for just glute development.
Aesthetic,
yeah. Yeah. And so that's where I would recommend a lot more hip thrusting.
Yeah.
Type movements for female trainees, and do. I very rarely, if ever, put a man on a hip thruster.
Yeah.
Because we could do squats and things and get enough glute to be balanced.
Yeah.
But for a female training, absolutely. A lot of hip thrusters, too. So I guess I would say I would change my answer if it was a female trainee versus a male trainee.
Right. Yeah, I would say for me now... I have not, if I were to rank my favorite thing to do, it would be leg press. I love the leg press. Because it's a good way for me to kind of test my legs where they are. And I've been hesitant to throw in more squat as of recently, just because I think there is a, what is it? What would you call that? An unrealized fear with my knee. Every time I'm not super strong with my legs. I mean, I'll say that up front. But I'll get up to like 900 pounds on the leg press, and around there, I mean, I can do it, but I start feeling something in my knee, and so that it's been making me a little pause. But I enjoy the leg press. I really do, and I love the squat too, but I just haven't incorporated it as much. But if I were the ones that I really like that I feel give me a really good pump would be Bulgarians. I love Bulgarians because of the pump it gives my quad.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Quad and, pump on Bulgarians.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Might need to look at your Bulgarian form.
And then when I do, I want to start incorporating squat more, but I just haven't done it. But so I'd say that right now when I'm doing workouts, those are the two, leg press and Bulgarians.
Interesting. I didn't expect Bulgarians.
I like Bulgarians. One, it gets my heart rate up because I've been doing, I don't know if you ever saw, John Meadows, desk squats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I've been working up to trying to do 3 sets because right now I can't imagine doing 4. But if for people who don't know what those are, you're doing 8 reps and you do 8 reps and then 8 second ISOs at the bottom. And you're supposed to do that 4 times on a leg without stopping, right?
I'm going to need the 5-pound dumbbells.
Yeah. Oh, man. They're brutal. And then so you do that, and I think the last set I did 2 sets of that, and I was like, holy smoke. I mean, it was like brutal. So, but I do enjoy those because I just feel like I get a really a good workout. And as far as my clients are concerned, it's very specific to what their goals are. I always put women on the hip thrust because I've especially, and most of them want glute development. And then, you know, if the female client has, weak hamstrings, obviously I'll put them on our hamstring flatbed cable. Over here.
Lying hamstring curl.
Right. And then, but I do a lot of RDLs for them. And if they're advanced, like someone like, you know, some of our more advanced clients, then I'll definitely give them deadlift. Because, deadlift is, I'm curious of your thought on this. I think you have to have a decent amount of experience before you're having your clients doing deadlift.
Straight bar deadlift?
Mm-hmm. I mean, to, because I find that they can, like, if I get, like, I'll have, like, someone like, you know, Kelsey is, I mean, she can do 135-pound RDLs, you know. Most my women doing, you know, the 110s or something like that, that would be difficult for them to do, like, 4 sets of, you know, 100-plus pound RDLs.
So RDLs specifically or deadlifts?
For RDLs.
RDLs. I would say RDLs, you can put anybody on RDLs.
Yes.
With the right coaching. You just have to be very careful because a lot of people, when they're beginners, they're not going to understand how their body needs to move, and they could put themselves in a less than advantageous position.
Right.
So I would agree with that. And the almost the less experienced, the better. And I'm not going to say...
For deadlift.
Yeah, because they're more coachable.
Yeah.
If I get a brand new beginner in, I can coach them up. If you take somebody who's done a lot of RDLs, but they've been doing them wrong for years,
it's hard to break that.
That's when it's really tough because you can't get them to change, even if you give them the right cues, because they just revert back to old habits.
Right. Well, and it's not the form that I'm worried about on deadlift. It's sometimes it's, you know, if you're doing less than 135 pounds on a deadlift, well, then you'll have to get the rubber plates with the 15s or the 20s. So it's at a decent height. So they don't have to go down so low, or you have to elevate the, you know, if those aren't available for whatever reason, you're using the 25-pound plates, you have to elevate it so you don't have to go down so low. But I guess the point is that I have had some of the women I have, which, and I have quite a few, you know, 60 and older, that I just won't, I won't do that. I have them do RDLs because they're, if they're doing a 40-pound bar on the RDL, then that's, they're like, that's plenty for them, you know. But if they're in their 20s and 30s, I find that I have more success with that.
Yeah, I would agree. All depends on goals, too.
Right.
You know.
Right. All right. So what do you want to cover next?
Let's cover, well, you want to just work up the body?
You can do that.
Go to back.
Yeah, I definitely have a favorite on back, yeah.
And I know what your favorite on back is.
What?
T-bar rows.
Yeah, that is my favorite.
I'm going to say for back, I did write down T-bar rows because they are something I really enjoy, but I also want to think about this from, I can't pick everything. So if I had to just pick one or two things, it would be the cables. Cable seated row and cable lat pull downs. And those two. Because the thing with back is you have to hit a couple different angles.
You do.
To work the back fully. So I can't just pick one.
Right.
But if I pick those two, I can get everything. And if I was doing a back workout, if I could only do two back workouts the rest of my life, it would be probably those two.
So lat pull downs,
mm-hmm.
and seated cable row.
Yes.
Interesting.
The thing about working back for me is the cable tension, the constant tension of the cable,
mm-hmm.
has, I've always really enjoyed. Let's say you're doing a T-bar row, you know, a bent over row, something. There's points in the movement where the tension leaves the back. You don't have that on a cable. You kind of get the constant tension through the whole movement. And I like that for a more time under tension on the back muscles.
I agree. I think, I don't give the T-bar row to my clients that, I mean, depending, and not, sometimes they'll put in, but I'm not consistent. It's like a staple that I give clients because for whatever reason, they have harder time doing that than they do a seated cable row.
Yeah, I've found the same thing. It is very difficult to coach the right form and then for it to stay.
Right.
You know, sometimes you can get them in the right form by the time they're, you know, halfway through their set and they'll finish out fine. And then the next time they do the set, they're right back to doing the things wrong they did before. And you've got to kind of get them back in the right position. And then it's just over and over.
Well, and I find, I mean, hell, I was doing it the other day, but I find that sometimes if they're doing the T-bar row under stress, that form breaks down. And that's what, you know, I try to teach. I want you to fail in form, you know, and know what that feeling feels like, right? And so that's harder to do on a T-bar row. I have an easier time on the cable with them being safe and holding form, and they do get a consistent tension.
Yeah. That's a very important point that is a little bit off topic, but I think it's important to, I want to spend a little bit of time on it, is failing in form.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important concept that a lot of people don't quite grasp.
Right.
That it's very instinctual for our bodies when we're, say, we're lifting something like a T-bar row. If the goal is to do the weight that's on the bar for 10 reps, our instincts are, well, we're going to get 10 reps.
Right.
You know, or we're going to do what we can to get the bar up. The goal is to bring it up and touch the stomach, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get it there. And a lot of times, in order to do that, if it's a little bit too heavy, the form will break down. You can never have the perfect amount of weight on the bar. It's impossible to always know what the perfect amount of weight is. So you're going to get in situations where you can't quite get the desired number of reps with the correct form the whole time. But understanding that whenever you do reach that limit, not breaking form in order to get the weight up.
Right.
But being able to say, okay, My form is perfect, but I've pushed myself to the limit with the form. And now, you know, I have to allow myself to fail this rep. Maybe it doesn't come all the way up to the stomach, but that's okay because I've maxed out the effort I can do with the correct form.
Right.
And that's where you're going to, number one, have lower risk of injury, and number two, be most effective in working the muscle.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so, but ironically, yes, T-bar row is my personal favorite. And why did you say that? How come you knew that?
You didn't think I would know that?
Well, you know, I didn't know you were paying attention.
Matt, you T-bar row every back workout.
Yeah, I do. So I love the T-bar row, and my second favorite would be the cable, seated cable. I do love that. And I like it because I can change my angles a little bit. You know, I can change my grip, you know, wide grip. I'm doing a lot of wide grip right now because of my bench. You know, but I like it that with the different attachments, I can just kind of play with my angles. So that's my top two. And I always give all my clients a seated cable row. It's very coachable. It's a good place to train how to pull your shoulders back. I always love the fact we have mirrors, because I'll have them be doing seated cable, and I say, turn your head and look where your back is. Look across the room, see where your back is. You know, and it's a great teaching tool to use that. And that's one of my reasons that I love having people do seated cable rows, because if they can visualize and feel what their back's supposed to, what the position's supposed to be on in the this concentric move, the stretch position, they can feel that, and then they can translate it to other exercises.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so those would be my, and so as far as my favorite for my clients back, as I said, the seated cable row. And I probably the two that I find, ooh, that's a tough one. I'd probably have to go to dumbbells. You know, I've had a lot of success. How do I want to say that? I've seen good strength gains from my clients with pullovers. And I've seen, but probably right with it is, you know, single arm rows. So what are your thoughts on that?
I would say for my trainees, it's very similar to my own personal mm-hmm. workouts. A lot of cable work, lat pull downs, seated cable rows, very similar.
Yeah.
Doesn't differ like it does with legs.
Right.
And same with both genders too. Mm-hmm. Male and female clients, very similar.
Yeah. Single arm rows are a little more difficult for females for some of them.
Yeah. A lot of back things are, because a lot of times females are limited by how much weight they can hold.
Right.
On back. And so you might have something where they can't hold the weight for all the reps, but their back muscles can do it just fine.
Right.
And so that is another adjustment that has to be made.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more to, I guess there's more nuances to the dumbbells than there are to cables. Would you agree with that?
I think it's easier to hold on to the cable.
Yeah.
With the attachment than it is with a dumbbell.
I think you have to think about, I think there's more stress on the, that's, I guess because the cable, the dumbbell, you know, it's loose in a way, you know, it's done, holding that weight at that angle with your, when you're down like that, and, you know, holding your shoulder back or pulling your shoulder and keeping your back neutral. I think that, and then, you know, obviously both of us teach, at least I'm pretty sure, I know that I do, is that I usually widen the touch points. Like I put their foot back a little farther and I put their hands up a little higher for a little more stress on the lat. And when I do that, because, you know, if I put my hand close to me and my foot right underneath me, I row a lot of weight, you know, but if I widen those touch points where my hands and my foot is, it puts a lot more stress on that. And I teach that when I'm training. And I've had two types, and I'd be curious on your thoughts on this. Sometimes most of the time I'll have them pull to the pocket, you know, and then sometimes I'll have them pull just straight back, depending on, you know, different variables.
Depending on what part of the back you want to hit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so that's why I kind of like that from the standpoint. I've also started taking the bicep out of it a little bit. I'll turn that hand, and, you know, if you turn that hand to a pronated position and you pull out a little wider, you're going to take the bicep out of it, put a little more stress on the back. So I kind of like, that's one of the reasons I like the single arm rows, because I can really target the back by hand position. And so it's just a different modality. I like using it. It's a good teaching tool. I guess that's I think I'm hitting upon something here, because I didn't think about this until now. A lot of my exercises that I utilize that are staples, like a seated row or a pullover and definitely a single arm row, they're teaching moments for me. Because there's so much you can teach by where the hand is, you know, where you're pulling from, how the shoulder's supposed to be. They're all really good teaching moments.
Teaching things that then go out and apply to a lot of other exercises.
100%.
And if you can get the concept on something, then you can apply that concept outwardly. Yeah. And there are certain exercises that are easier to teach that concept.
Right.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, and I agree with that.
Yeah, and, you know, I use the word rhomboid a lot with my clients, you know, obviously traps and all that stuff.
And scapula.
Scapula, yeah.
I did that the other day. Who was I training to give him some crap? I said that. I gave him the cue to retract their scapula, and they just stopped and looked at me, and they go, "What's a scapula?"
Oh, you have to tell me who that is. Do I know him?
You would, yeah. He's one of my trainees, but okay. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, that's probably good, because I'd give him crap. All right, what do you think next? You want to go chest or shoulder?
Do we want to hit core?
Oh, yeah. I know what my favorite is for my clients.
For yourself? I don't know, Matt. I've never really seen you hit core before.
I don't hit much core by myself. That's what I was going to say.
My favorite, ab rollouts.
I do like ab rollouts.
100% ab rollouts.
Yeah, I do like ab rollouts. I mean, because that's a definite core hit.
Yeah, you get the stretch contraction.
Yeah.
And there's other things you can get the stretch contraction in, but, you know, you get that stretch in your abs. I get a lot more lower ab in ab rollouts than in other ab exercises.
Yeah.
Like ab rollouts a lot.
Yeah. I just did those with, I mean, I had Forrest and Nancy doing those the other day. And the fact that they could, Forrest was actually doing pretty good, and Nancy was doing okay. But they're really good for that, really good for core. I find a lot of leg workouts, being if they're compound movements, I'm hitting a good amount of core.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I don't hit a lot of core either.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I've done, like, here's the thing. I haven't done a lot of core, and I see a lot of people doing tons of core, right? And then I've had the experience where I communicate with these people, and I'll show them how to do a candlestick, right, where your feet go straight up in the air, and you're just holding behind your head, and you take your feet and your core all the way up, and you lower it slowly. I can do that. I don't do that much core, you know, and they can't. So it's an interesting thing. Is like, you know, people are like, oh, I got to hit a lot of core. I was like, well, you just did, you know, five sets of squats. You know, I'm like, that was a lot of core.
Or people think that doing lots of abs is going to give them a six pack.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. In fact, I still, even clients I've already told this to, I need to hit some core, man. I got to get rid of some of this fat down. I was like, dude, that's what's on your plate, man.
Yeah. It's like, doing core exercises has nothing to do with belly fat. Zero correlation.
Zero. Zero. Hear that, everybody. Zero correlation. So, but as far as enjoyment, I do enjoy decline candlesticks or modified candlesticks. Because I have done a fair amount of those, and still love the up and down planks. I do when I had cardio. Let me specify that. I remember I used to could do 30 or 40 of those in a row. I don't know if I could get past 10 right now. And then one of my favorite for the clients that I've that been more recent is throwing the medicine ball off of a sit-up.
That's what I was going to guess when you said you had a favorite for your clients.
Yeah,
I was gonna guess
that one's come up.
I see you do that one a lot.
I do that one a lot, and it's gives you a really strong sense of accomplishment. They talk about it for the next week because their abs are sore, and it's a good interactive one. I like that one.
I like the ball toss with core or something like that, because I like the idea of your core's contracted and you're having to like catch a ball or something. Mm-hmm. It jolts you a little bit. It forces your core to work in a way that it wouldn't otherwise.
Right.
Helps a lot with stability. I do like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one. And, yeah. So what next? You want to do, shoulders or chest?
Chest is below the shoulders.
True. Okay.
Chest next.
Well, I think you know what mine is.
Matt's favorite is...
But the question is what do I like better? Do I like dumbbells better or do I like straight bar better?
Straight bar bench. It has to be. Are you telling me that I might be wrong?
I'd say it's even.
Even?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
I do love the dumbbells.
Really?
I love picking up the 130s and ripping them out for 10. I'm like, man, it feels fantastic. I mean, yeah. I don't know. There's something to be said. It's like when you're picking those heavy dumbbells up and you're like, it's taking you everything you have just to get them in position, right? Because I've actually enjoyed the process of actually... Okay, it's not about just benching these dumbbells. I have to throw this weight around to get in the position to actually move them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's very challenging. So I would say they're on par, but there's no competitions for dumbbells.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And, but I do love, the thing about the straight bar. I can't go away from it for very long. I did that once where I didn't touch them for 8 weeks and my form like was not great when I came back. So, and as I've discovered even more so is that you can constantly work on your form on bench. I'd be curious about your opinion on this, and you might get some disagreement on I think bench is the most nuanced lift.
Expand on
okay.
that.
I think it's a toe to finger exercise. Everything matters.
Which power lift is not?
I'd say maybe even to it. Okay, so let me rephrase that. Because when you put it like that, okay, all right. But I think it's one of the exercises that takes you need to have everything dialed in, not just your triceps, your chest, and your shoulders, and your back, which is, you know, I think you have to have the form is absolute key, the glutes, the quads, the way you hold your feet down, your hand placement. You can even, I've even gotten to the point where if I'm having trouble getting the bar up, I'll squeeze my pinky finger when I to help engage. You know, now I don't, all the other lifts I'm not sure are to that extent. At least I don't think they are.
Well, you don't do a lot of like deadlifting or squatting or anything.
No, I don't do a lot.
But I think that they're all very
close. I would say squat is either on par with it or slightly behind.
I may give it to you that bench could be the most technical, but if it is, it's very close. Like, yeah. I don't think it's far and away.
No, 100%. I don't agree with that either. Yeah. And this is a discussion I was having with Angel, and I brought it up with him. I was like, I just asked him, do you think it's the most nuanced lift? Meaning that there's so many little intricacies that you can constantly focus on to improve. And he said, 100%. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not out of bounds here.
I'm not at all surprised he thinks that, though.
Well, he does love Ben, but I would say he is definitely work on the legs. But I told him I think squat's right there. You know, I don't think that squat is it's a very nuanced lift as well.
I really think that deadlift might be more nuanced than squat.
Really?
Yes.
We'll expand on that a little bit.
Most of the time, I think they're very similar in that when I see somebody squat or somebody deadlifting that's been doing it on their own, a lot of times it's very similar to somebody that's benching that's been doing it on their own, where it's like, hold up, we got to change everything.
Right, right.
Like, everything you're doing is wrong. Because a lot of people think on deadlift, well, I got to go walk up to the bar and I just got to pick it up.
Right.
But you can do that, and you can muscle up a certain amount of weight.
Right.
You know, if you're pretty strong, you could probably muscle up 315. You may be able to muscle up a little bit more. But you get to a point on deadlift where the weight simply will not go up unless you work on your form.
Yes. Yes.
And I think there are positions that are, they don't make sense to people, but you can put them in that will change their positioning to where they can lift more weight. And you could take somebody who's not really that large of a person, and if you get their form right and you get their leverages right, they can deadlift a lot of weight.
Yes.
And the bench is similar to that, where you can take somebody who's pretty small, and if you get all their leverages right and positioning right, they can bench a lot of weight. Like, the squat's not that way. The squat, you know, you don't find some little bitty guy that's squatting 600-700 pounds.
No.
You have to be a big person.
Right.
To squat a lot of weight.
Right.
But deadlift and bench aren't necessarily the same.
Yeah.
One thing I'll say about the deadlift is people don't put their stance close enough. They don't understand that a close stance is actually a better position. They don't understand, you know, how to sit back on their heels. They don't understand a lot of things. And I think I would, if I had to do a session with somebody and they wanted to go over all three of the power lifts, I might spend the most time on deadlift with them if they were like a beginner.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that as I've gone forward, I was thinking squat. But you're right, you know, that makes sense. And I think, you know, the thing about teaching some of these more advanced things is, like, if you're teaching deadlift, right, you're not going to be teaching them, you'd be teaching them as much as you can, all the nuances that you can. Or are you going to kind of strategize to what is most efficient to keep them safe in the beginning.
It depends on their goal.
Right.
I mean, if their goal is, I want to power lift, we got to hit, we got to cross every T and dot every I from day one. You know, we want the form dialed in, whether they're doing, you know, 45 right. pounds or 225 or whatever. But, you know, there are ways to deadlift that you don't have to have absolutely laser perfect form. You know, if your right. goal is not weight.
Well, and see, and I wouldn't do that with bench. And here's why. I find people's eyes glaze over if I'm going off every nuanced aspect of the bench. They just like...
Yeah. Like, with a bench, and here's what I'll say on a bench and what I do with a lot of trainees, if they're beginners. I will bench with them for weeks and even months before I will even mention leg drive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because they don't need to know that in the
right.
beginning.
Right.
And, but eventually they get to that point. But I wouldn't say deadlifts are quite that way. There's not aspects of the deadlift that you can forget about at the beginning. You know, you kind of have yeah. to have it all dialed in.
Well said, yeah. I think there's aspects of the bench you can teach and that they're safe. Because I find if you try to teach too much about all the different aspects of the bench, all the things that really are about just getting that extra push, the most important thing is how just keeping them safe, right? And that's the most of, so there's a level to keep them safe, and then there's a level to push really heavy.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say on the bench is that it's a little bit less intuitive of a movement. Than deadlift is. The thing about bench, if you're really getting yourself in the correct benching position, everything feels wrong about it. It doesn't feel like this is the position I should be in to be able to bench a lot of weight or yes. the most advantageous position, but it works.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the mantra is if it's not difficult to hold the form, you're in the wrong form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes for all the power lifts, kind of. I mean, deadlifts yeah. the same way. It's like once you get in position, it should be so tight that the bar can't do anything but come off the floor. If you're just right. all loose down there, like, oh, okay, I'm ready to lift, like, you're not in the right position. Bench is the same way.
Right.
It's like, I can't move. I'm so tight and in position.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So as far as that, I'd say dumbbells and bench. Those are my top two.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I get the most bang for my buck. It's another thing about bench is kind of the measure. Bench to me is kind of the straight bar probably more than dumbbell. It's kind of more of a measurement of the totality of something. You know, if your shoulders aren't in that great of shape, you know, it's going to show, you're not going to be able to bench as much. If your back isn't that strong, you're not going to be able to bench as much. If yeah. your triceps are weak, you're not going to be able to bench as much. So all those things are real important. And if something's off, you know, let's say you got a weak core and you can't lock yourself down, right? Or your bad form, or, you know, your legs are flopping around at the end of the bench. All those things play into the ability to push the weight. And I always find that's what I find fascinating about the bench. It's kind of like if someone's benching heavy, like really heavy, like you're getting past like 300 pounds, that means you're pretty strong everywhere. You know, if you're benching three, and I find it, you can, you know, you hit 300 pounds, you can muscle it, right? But if you want to actually, we've known people that they can put in different exercises outside of the bench, they can push about the same weight we can, but they get on the bench, they try to muscle it, there's no form, they can't move it, right? And I'm thinking of some people we know. But I think at some point you reach a point on the bench, maybe you can muscle it up to 300 pounds, but after that, moving heavier weight takes form. I mean, would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, what about clients?
For what?
Bench.
Well, I never even said what my favorite was.
So. Oh, that's right. Sorry. Go ahead.
What do you think my favorite is?
I'm going to say it's either dumbbell bench or dumbbell bench incline.
I had to think a lot about this one because I realized when I was thinking about it that I don't really like chest that much.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I do, but I don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there are two exercises, probably a dumbbell low incline I like a lot. Inclined, but so not flat, but not a high incline, a low incline.
Yeah.
And then I think the pec deck machine for flies.
Yeah.
I kind of like flies more than I like presses.
Interesting. I like flies.
I get a lot better contraction, mm-hmm. in flies.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like incline presses. I really don't like bench very much.
Yeah.
Like flat barbell bench.
Yeah.
I don't, so most of the time when I'm doing flat barbell bench, I ask myself, why am I doing this? I don't really understand the purpose.
Yeah.
Other than to bench more weight.
Yeah. It's competition. That's all.
Otherwise, it's like, I don't really need to do this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it from a functionality standpoint, we're probably in life, we are more about pulling things to us than we are pushing things away from us.
Yeah. It's not the most practical movement.
Right.
To lay down on your back and push something up above you.
You know,
it's not practical like picking something up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the picking something up is far more pragmatic, what we would use in our older age. When it comes to pushing something, the only thing that I would say is good for pushing something is having strong triceps, because strong tricep will help you get off the ground. Which is not necessarily needed for bench definitely requires very strong triceps. But if you think about it, we're not really in life where we're against a flat surface pushing something.
Not usually.
Yeah.
But to go into clients, I do a lot of low incline or flat dumbbell press. The only reason I don't do as much incline is because it puts more pressure on the shoulders, and form has to be even more dialed in if you're going to do incline.
Yeah.
In order to keep the shoulder in a good position. And then same thing, flies. I like flies, but I do stick to a lot of pec deck just because a lot of trainees, it's difficult keeping shoulders back on flies. So I do cable flies, but I also do a lot of pec deck flies.
Yeah. There's been the wide pec deck flies, and then there's been more of the push through, which is more than the new type of something you see some of the influencers doing now, where you're coming out like this and you're pushing through.
It's like an in between of a press and a fly.
Right. It's almost like I call the old school like tree hugger fly, and then you have more of a push through type of fly between like a bench and there supposedly there's some science out there that says one, the push through flies are more safe, and maybe they're saying they're more effective. I don't know if that's true or not. But you watch some of the old school guys, Arnold and those guys, man, they're like really wide. They're going, and you'll see them on the bench going almost to the floor with those tools. Curious for your thoughts on that.
I'm more traditional. I don't really agree with the like push through mm-hmm. flies. A lot of guys that speak to those are typically people who advocate for shoulders forward too
mm-hmm.
on those. And I definitely don't agree with that. Not if you're looking to engage the chest.
Yeah.
I like more of the old school Arnold style wide flies. You get the stretch and then you get the contraction. You come up together.
Yeah. And I get more out of it personally. Yeah. Right. Okay.
I have a difference in training philosophy that I want to approach with you right here on the podcast. Since
Let's
we're talking about chest, I was thinking about my female clients because I mentioned everything I mentioned is specific to male clients.
Yes, you're
female
right.
clients, I don't really train them on chest at all. But I did have one of our trainees the other day who's female who trains with both of us who asked me that question and said, how come when I work out with Matt, he makes me do chest and you don't? And so I wanted your perspective on that. I don't train
that much of it. I might hit chest on a girl that can handle it who has a strong back once a month. I don't train that much. I don't, you know, like if it's Kelsey and Amy, I'll throw some chest there. I don't hit them much, but they're the strongest chest people I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't train that much. I, you know, sometimes I'll throw it in for a variety, but most of my women clients, I don't train chest. The only thing that would come close to it would be like tilted hexes or hex presses. That's the closest thing. And that's usually I'm going to have the dumbbells low, hitting a lot of tricep. Very rarely, the only people I can think of that I've given dumbbell chest presses to is Amy and Kelsey, I think. So I never had to do flies, ever. So, now, maybe I'm an old man. Maybe I did from some whoever.
Oh, I don't know. I was just wondering what your stance was on the topic.
No, I don't have. I don't do a lot of it, but I'll do some.
Yeah, I don't. I guess my belief is that female trainees get enough ancillary chest work through a lot of their tricep work.
Mm.
There's a lot of tricep work with female trainees. And a lot of it to me boils down to there's no purpose to have a overly developed chest.
Right.
The same reason I wouldn't put a male on a hip thruster.
Right.
You don't want an overly developed glutes on a man,
right.
at least most men. And the same thing goes for females.
Right.
Most females don't want an overly developed chest. Now, you still want the muscles to have some strength and some practical strength. But unless they're going to bodybuild or power lift or something, I'm not going to throw them on directly chest related exercises.
Yeah.
Now, if we do a tricep style press,
it's
going to work the chest as well.
Right.
It's not only triceps, but it's mostly triceps with some chest in there, and they're going to have some strength in there. It's just not going to be a overly developed, like popping out, you know, pec muscle.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like I said, I don't do my, and you know, our old, boss, very anti-chest on women, and I think there's some logic to that. You know, I mean, now I remember listening to Mike Isertel, and he completely disagreed with that. So there's a lot of nuanced. I mean, as anybody knows, there's a lot of nuanced opinions out there.
Yeah, I could find any fitness influencer that could disagree with any. Thing, any claim,
yeah, 100%.
Even the stuff that's like seems obvious, you could find people disagree with it.
Yeah,
every possible opinion is out there.
Right well, I now. Mean, it's like I'm starting to listen to a guy named Lyle McDonald, who so far he hasn't said anything I think is crazy. Pretty interesting guy. He's an exercise scientist. But yeah, there's some things that Mike Isertel has said that like. You're like, what?
I'm not really a fan of him.
No.
I listened to him a lot back when he first kind of started with his online presence.
Yeah.
And I just kept finding that, I disagree with that. I disagree with that. And finally, I kind of just stopped listening to him.
Yeah. But. Well, he comes up in my thread. Every once in a while, I want to hear what he has to say because I like this, the conflict of opinions. Find it interesting. And I think the one that really killed it for me, and he's telling people to drink Diet Coke. I'm like, and I couldn't tell if he was serious or not, because he has a dry sense of humor.
He does, yeah.
You know, and you're like, wait, is he serious? And I went back and listened to it again, and I think he's serious. So
yeah, my disagreements revolve around his dietary recommendations.
Yeah,
are weird.
They're really weird, and yeah. So anyway, yeah. So yeah, I agree 100%. I probably do hit a little more chest than you, but I can't imagine I hit that much. I mean,
I don't know, but
yeah.
I think we need to probably, for the sake of time, rapid fire these last few.
All right, so
we're gonna go shoulders, triceps, and biceps.
Okay.
To finish.
All right.
So let's do this. Let's do shoulders.
Okay.
Then triceps, then biceps.
All right.
And we'll finish there. All shoulders. Right. What I've got here is Meadows.
Yes.
One of my favorites. They're going to work the front and the side delts real good. A lot of time under tension on Meadows raises. You get a great shoulder burn. I don't always love doing heavy shoulder presses because they're a bit, they do work the shoulder really. The other thing I would say is barbell shoulder press would be another option.
Yeah.
But both of those work the shoulders very well. And on the Meadows, you get a lot of time under tension. You're not putting the shoulders under such a heavy load that you're putting them at risk either.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. That was going to be mine. And then the other one, for me personally, is overhead press, dumbbells. Yeah. I like straight bar too, but I like dumbbells even a little bit more, and because I have to, like, each arm has to control the weight, and so there's each arm has its own responsibility, and I kind of like that. That's the thing about dumbbells. It's true for anything, but especially in shoulders, I like that aspect of it. And for clients, I would say Meadows. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I can do Meadows because we got 2-pound weights over here. I can do Meadows for anybody. And they just got to get the rhythm right, or the movements right. But I also teach something I don't think you teach in Meadows, and I won't. But I do 6, 8-way and 10-way.
Yeah, I have a couple of trainees that we both train, where every time I tell them to do Meadows, they always ask 10-way, 6-way, 8-way, and I'm like, just Meadows. I don't add extra ways. I like just good old fashioned traditional Meadows.
Yeah,
raises.
Gotcha. I would say that's, and it's Meadows are really good. Those are kind of a staple. And then some type of shoulder press. You know, it can be variant approaches to overhead press. I will say I'm starting to become a fan of the inverted kettlebell presses.
Mm-hmm. Those are nice.
Yeah. They're
not going to be my top one by any means, but
right.
I do like those.
Yeah, I do too. All right. Triceps.
Triceps.
this will be interesting.
What do you think is my favorite tricep?
I don't know if you're going to leave the good old skull crushers or not. I'm going to say it's one of these three. It's either going to be you're still a fan of the skull crushers or the tricep pushdowns. Or the JMs.
Okay, you get JM presses.
JM presses,
my favorite tricep exercise.
Okay.
Have been for a long, long time.
Gotcha, okay.
JM presses.
JM presses, yeah. JM presses in top two, 100%, yeah. But this will kind of shock you. I'm a huge fan of the rolling triceps.
Yeah, I know you like them a lot.
I do like
and
them
I,
a lot.
I like them too.
Yeah. It used to be tellies, and I do like the tellies, but I don't like them when I'm this heavy. And here's why. Because they gas me so fast. When I was lighter, I loved them because my cardio was better. But if anybody knows what a telly is, it's probably one of the most cardio-intensive exercises when done.
If a tricep exercise could be cardio-intensive...
Tellies would be
it.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember there'd be times of doing 135-pound telly extensions, and, man, by rep 8, yeah, I'm gassed. You know, it's so much effort to that much movement, pulling from behind and then tricep benching it up at the top. It's a lot. So if I get back down to 190 pounds, they might become my favorites again. But great exercise. I love it. But
and I'll give a close second to just some really, really like heavy but go to burnout on tricep pushdowns.
Yes.
There's just nothing that quite beats those.
I will say that triceps are my favorite muscle to work by a long way, more than bench.
You know, I might agree with you. I would have to think about it, but I like triceps a lot.
I do too. I look forward to tricep day. I can't wait to get to tricep day. So it helps. My triceps are strong, but I love tricep day. So that would be, this bench would be second to that.
All right, biceps. Mine is, I only got one, preacher curls.
Yes, you do.
W-bar preacher curls.
W-bar preacher curls.
That's it.
Yep. For clients, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm a fan of W-bar preacher curls. I'm a fan of the W-bar in general. Because that natural little angle in the grip is the best for me for full power, right? I mean, twisting it to straight, I can still do well, but I like that comfort grip of this hands being at that angle.
Well, and it gives you a little bit of both heads of the bicep that way.
Right. My favorite, though. This will probably kind of shock you. And it's more from the feeling I get on the peaks of my biceps of why I like it. It's not one I do a lot, but I do try to incorporate it. And here's the other thing. I don't hit my biceps that much. I try to give them some time every week, but it's not one I hit a lot. I just maybe 60 reps a week. And I probably should hit it more than I do. I just don't hit that a lot. So, but the cable pull down behind the head. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That is a great one. Yeah. I always get a great bicep pump doing those.
Yeah.
But I never feel like I can get the weight quite heavy enough to really break some muscle tissue down.
I mean, my biceps, when I hit those, my biceps are like toast.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, oof. I mean, like the peaks of my biceps, I feel it right on the peaks.
Yeah.
And when I'm pulling behind like that, I'm like, holy smokes. Now, I don't get that full stretch because elbows are moving on that, and it's hard to hold them straight. But I'd say I do like doing the preacher curl. I've like thrown some heavy weight on there and to see how much I can do, and it's fun. As far as my clients, I would say the most teachable I find is just this regular old supinated bicep curl. One thing I want to talk about before I let you go. You see the guys out there, even influencers and bodybuilders and well-known powerlifters, taking the 70, 80-pound dumbbells and swinging, the whole body, the back, the knees are popping, flipping, 80-pound dumbbells like this, right? And I still don't understand why no one calls them out on that. I mean, because it's obviously you're not doing 80-pound dumbbells.
Yeah.
But everyone in the fitness community is like, oh, wow, they can curl 80-pound dumbbells. I'm like, well, they're gyrating the entire time they're moving them.
Yeah. I don't really get that.
I don't get it either.
Unless you're just trying to really build some big brachius radialis, you're not going to get a lot of work on your actual bicep doing those.
Well, I think it was the Anatoly guy. The guy goes and moves heavy weight. He's a small guy. Guy will be in there doing 60s or 70s, and he'll go and pick up the 90s or 100s, and he's just, you know,
swinging them around,
and I've never understood it, you know, and it's like you're not isolating.
It's kind of showing off whether you can move it or not.
That's exactly what I think it is. It's
like
showing up.
Sometimes I'll see them do that with shoulder press, where they come down like to their forehead and go back up, and they're like, "Oh, I did a shoulder press." Well, no, you didn't, you know. Or a squat, you know, you load up really heavy weight on a squat and go down 4 inches and come back up, you know. Leg press, people will load the leg press up with 2,000 pounds, and then you'll see them do reps that are 2 inches, you know, long.
Right.
It
right.
Just, yeah. But there's always going to be that.
If you go and you take that person that's throwing that way, right one like that, and you lock them down. Right, you lock them down, isolate it on that bicep. That dumbbell ain't moving.
They'll tear their bicep.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, it just is not strong enough to do it.
Yeah,
the right way.
So anyway, well, that was fun, brother.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
got to talk about a lot of exercises that I love to do. It's got me in the mood for a workout.
Well, I want to go get on the bench right now, but. Probably not
the
a good
problem
idea.
Is like I can't work out because I just did neurosuit yesterday and my whole body is sore.
Yeah
from the neurosuit.
And what sessions did you put on that?
I
conditioning
did,
strength
no I did like strength for a while for a few different ones, and then did massage at the end.
Where are you sore at?
Everywhere. I mean, my calves aren't sore because
right.
It doesn't go to your calves.
Right, right.
But basically everywhere else.
Wow.
Honestly, my chest and my shoulders are not, because we had that problem where we couldn't get it to go up high enough. Chest and the
right,
shoulders.
Right.
But everywhere else is very sore.
Wow. That's crazy.
Biceps. Like I told you the other day how my biceps don't get sore working out.
Yeah.
And we worked them out hard the other day.
Yeah.
They weren't sore at all.
Yeah.
Neurosuit yesterday, they are screaming at me right now. Biceps are sore.
That's crazy. Guys, be mindful that you come down to Anytime Fitness, we'll hook you up with one of these suits and give you a great workout.
I mean, all I did was just lay on the floor and turn the suit on.
Right.
And then it didn't do anything. And I'm sore today.
Yeah.
You know, I really am interested in... I think maybe I asked Steve this one time, and either he didn't know or something, but you would think that they could do some testing and do like a trial where some people wear the suit and then some people work out and then some people just do nothing, and see like how much muscle the people wearing the suit build. 'Cause I was thinking about it, and I'm like, I know that this is causing some muscle breakdown.
Yeah, it have to.
And so it's going to cause building muscle. I just wonder how much and how effective. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I did a workout before I started the session with the suit. But while I was wearing the suit, I didn't actually do anything physical other than just lay there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if that is able to build muscle, I mean, that could be revolutionary.
This suit is pretty amazing. I've seen some crazy things on it, and you know, and I don't like want to comment on all the crazy things I've seen. I want to speak to what I personally have experienced. Me and you both have about 3 years of experience with the suit, on and off, and on a personal level, it heals me up. That's all I can say. It heals me up in a very short period of time.
Yeah, you're getting work in soft tissue, you know, deep tissue. Your muscles are activating, contracting, but you're not having the wear and tear from the heavy weights.
Right.
You know, my biceps are more sore than the heaviest bicep workout that I've ever done.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to lift any weight with them.
Yeah.
I just had to use the suit to activate the muscles.
I was curious, what level, do you remember what level you put the biceps on, or you probably don't remember?
Yeah, I think I got them like 18 to 20,
ooh,
somewhere around there.
Ooh, that's pretty high.
I had my glutes running at like 44 or something like
Holy
that.
Holy smokes.
And my quads are like 39, I think.
Wow. Yeah, what about your abs?
that, maybe like 18, I think, 16 to 18. And then it got pretty bad.
Yeah.
At that point.
I had to turn my abs down because one time I had them at like 18, 19 or 20, somewhere around there. And I felt like my ab muscles were going to rip. So I like, turn that down. It's like, holy crap. I felt it was going to rip in half. So anyway. All right. Well, guys, that was fun. We'll be touching base with you soon. We'll try to be back next week. And for the 60th episode.
Big one coming.
Yeah, that's a big one. We'll have to have some type of celebration when we hit 100. But today is my wife's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So I got to go do something.
Yeah, so we'll tell her happy birthday. Happy birthday, Beth.
Yes, happy birthday, Beth. And we'll be checking with you guys next week.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, guys. It was a great episode. Hope you enjoyed it.
All right, talk to you soon, guys. Bye.
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.